All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, if you'll take them, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. One more reminder, please make sure you will. We have one prayer card on the wall. Make sure somebody picks that up to pray. And if you have prayer requests tonight, if you would be so kind, please, folks, this is a privilege for all of us to be able to pray for you. And don't be ashamed to put on here what you need us to pray about. Don't sign your name. And let's encourage our people to do that. And I think it's been special for us to do that. Also, remember, I continue to ask you, there are certain things that we do as a church. And we do them because it's very important. I believe that as God's people do things together spiritually, He has a way of speaking to us about things. And so we're in our second year of 40 days in the Psalms. Pick this up at the Welcome Center and join us starting on February the 18th. Is that next Sunday? Next Sunday. And this will go all the way through until right before Easter. We did it last year. We'll, Lord willing, do it each time we have. This is our resource. We put it together here in the house, and I think you'll enjoy it. It's something very different than you may have ever done. So I want to encourage you to do that. And then remember, prayer camp. I really, really want to encourage you. If you can, find Dan Richard and Debbie out there in the outside, or tell them here, please, please, if you can make it, March the 2nd and 3rd, prayer camp is going to be such a blessing, and I hope you'll be a part of it. So tonight we're in Hebrews 11. We've been thinking about Abraham and his faith. I want to talk to you tonight about laughter and faith. Laughter and faith. I'd like for you to take your Bible now that you're in Hebrews 11, and I want you to go to the book of Genesis, and I want to read some selective verses for us, and then we'll come back to Hebrews chapter 11. Laughter and faith. Trusting God and laughing. You're wondering what they have in common. Well, some of our most astute Bible scholars here, and we have them in our church, they already know what I'm going to do, but I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. So in Genesis chapter 17, the Lord appeared to Abraham. He was 99 years old. This is verse 1. He said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will establish my covenant between me and you. And I will multiply you exceedingly." Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him. "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of a multitude of nations." Now I want to go back now with that said and read verse 1 again. Now, Abram was 99 years old. Then we go on over in chapter 17. Then God said to Abraham, his name changed here because this is when he made his covenant. Abraham believed him and his name was changed to Abraham, the father of many nations. Remember, father of many nations, all right? Now we read, "Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife," not Sarah yet, promise hasn't been made, "Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name." God's promise now. "I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. He didn't pray. He laughed. He heard the promise of God. "I'm going to make you the father of many nations." Well, to be a father, you all get it, you have to have a son. "And about your wife Sarah, her name is Sarai, now it's Sarah. She's the mother of many nations." And Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And God said, no, it's not Ishmael. But my covenant I will establish, verse 21, with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this season next year. When he finished talking with him, God went from Abraham. There's a lot here about praying that I wish we could talk about tonight, but that's not my point. I want to talk about laughter and faith. So we read it again. Verse 17, Abraham fell on his face after he heard God's promise about what he was going to do through his wife Sarah, who was really old. And he laughed in his heart. Chapter 18, now verse 1. The Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre while he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day, hot where Abraham was there, sitting there with his tent under an oak tree trying to find the shade. When he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, three men were standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourself under the tree. And I will bring a piece of bread that you may refresh yourselves after that you may go on since you have visited your servant. And they said, so do as you have said. Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly prepare three measures of fine flour, knead it, make bread cakes. Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and choice calf and gave it to the servant, and he hurried to prepare it. He took curds and milk and the calf which he had prepared and placed it before them. Abraham showed hospitality to these strangers. And he was standing by them under the tree, under the oak tree, as they ate. They ate, and Abraham stood under the oak tree. And they said something strange. Where is Sarah, your wife? These strange strangers who show up at Abraham's tent. And he said, there in the tent. He said, I will surely return to you at this time next year. And behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Promise of God. Promise of God. And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. Verse 12. Sarah laughed to herself. Sarah laughed to herself, saying, After I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being also old? Verse 13, and the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I indeed bear a son when I am so old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Now we move along, and we find ourselves in chapter 21. Now, if you'll go to Genesis 21. Time goes by, lots of things happen. Abraham has a discussion with the Lord and these angels about Sodom. Then the Lord took note of Sarah, verse 1. As he had said. Promise of God from the Word of God. Word of God, promise of God. And the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son. He was 8 days old. Now Abraham was 100 years, and his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. Now, with that in mind, I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll read. We're reading about Abraham's faith. And what have we learned already in our times together? Well, we learned in verses 1 and 2 that faith, verse 1, is the assurance of what's hoped for. In other words, God makes the promise, and we hope for it to come to pass. We are assured that what God promises, He's going to do. And the conviction of things you can't see. They're not here yet. They're yet to come. Faith, assurance of things hoped for, conviction of things not seen. And then we read in verse number 11, by faith, even Sarah herself conceived, received the ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life. Notice, since she considered him faithful who had promised. There's the phrase. What is faith? It is considering, being assured, being convicted that the one who promised is faithful. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, and many descendants as the stars of the heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. So when you read the promises of God, have you ever talked to somebody, or has someone ever talked to you, and you're in a situation in your life, you're facing some circumstance in your life, and someone tries to give you assurance from God's Word, and they quote some promise from God's Word, and you laugh? You don't have to raise your hand. You laugh. You laugh because in the circumstance you're in, what they're telling you sounds crazy and impossible. You laugh. So sometimes we really have a problem with Sarah and her laughing. And even Abraham and his laughing. Oh, sometimes we'll have preachers who'll give Abraham a pass, but not Sarah. But I'm assured of the fact, as I look around here in your eyes and you look in mine, every one of us at some time has laughed in our heart when God's promise has been given. It might be about somebody that you would never believe, God could save and change. And you laughed. It might be about some circumstance in your family or in your business, and it looks like it's going to go one way and it's never going to change. And you laughed at the promise of God. Well, you see, we learn a lot about laughter here. We try to overanalyze it and understand it, but it's natural when things look impossible. When things look like they won't come to pass, we sometimes laugh at the promises of God. We just dismiss them. We overlook these things that have been given to us. And so I want us for just a moment tonight, I don't want to spend too long here, but I want to spend a few minutes tonight challenging you and myself afresh and anew to be like Sarah. Something happened to Sarah when she heard the Lord speak to her. And I want to take you back there for just a moment, and I want you to notice again. Here's the statement in Hebrews 11 that the apostle gives us. Since she considered him, capital H, God, faithful, who had promised. Now I want to go back again. And I want you to look with me again in Genesis, if you're still there. And notice again what happens here. When the tent meeting takes place and she laughs, verse 12, Then the Lord says, verse 14, and this is what I ask you tonight. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? I'm convinced that this is the way God prepared and changed Sarah. She heard the word of God, the promise. And then she was reminded, nothing is impossible for God. You know, some of you have lived long enough and walked with Jesus long enough, you've seen the impossible. So have I. I could account some people in my life that I know, everybody gave up on them. They were, as far as the family was concerned, they were gone. Some of them preach today. So the laughter of Sarah turned to laughter of joy, from laughter of doubt to laughter of joy, because now when this promised boy is born, everybody laughs. Now, I'm not going to get into the technical part of it, but the Hebrew word for laughter and the Hebrew word for Isaac are very close. Not the same, but very close. And when you say them, they somewhat sound the same. So there is somewhat of a play on words here that we miss in English because we don't speak Hebrew. Faith believes in God's promises. So tonight, we think about where we are. We think about the circumstances of life. Faith believes in God's promise. Faith believes in God's faithfulness. As Sarah considered him faithful, she considered him faithful. Do you consider God faithful? Faithfulness has a time on it. Faithfulness begins and ends. Faithfulness is reliability. It's durable. Faithfulness is not temporary. Faithfulness shows up every day on time. What's our old saying around here? God's good all the time, and He's faithful. That's what you're saying. It's what I'm saying. And those of us who've walked with the Lord and lived long enough have seen the faithfulness of God. And faith believes that God can do the impossible. I want to ask you tonight what the Lord asked Sarah. Because I think some of you need to hear this tonight and what you're going through. Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? No. No. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and the conviction of things not seen. So tonight, we believe by faith. When the Lord Jesus said, "For God so loved the world, that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him," promise, "will not perish, but have everlasting life." Faith in the promise of Jesus for eternal life. Well, all of us in this room, unless Jesus comes and where our bodies are transformed, we're going to die. You're either going to come to my grave, or I'm going to come to yours. So is the promise real? It's as real as the one who makes it. It's as sure as the one who makes it. And the Lord Jesus said, eternal life is for those who believe on Him. What about this? Jesus said, this is a promise. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Why are we without peace? Why are we in such turmoil? Why do we struggle and wring our hands? When the Lord Jesus promised us His peace, Paul, I know who's here on Sunday night. You know what Paul said about the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. We believe the promise of God. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? The Lord Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The promise of Jesus. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. What are you hoping for tonight? What is it that is the greatest hope of your life? What do you hope for? What is it that you're convicted is going to happen even though you can't see it? And frankly, it appears impossible. God's in the business of doing things that are impossible. And being born again and knowing Jesus and following the Lord and trusting Him, why, it's amazing to see what happens when someone comes in simple faith and trusts Jesus and begins to walk with the Lord, just like we talk about around here. Learning how to follow Jesus is important. Learning how to pray, learning how to read God's Word, to study God's Word, to meditate, to memorize it, to put it in our heart, to find that place of ministry and to use our gifts. It's amazing what happens to an impossible person who could never, ever be thought of to do anything for God. That's all of you, by the way, and that's the fellow you're looking at. You know? We've told enough of our stories around here to know that. Enough of us know each other to know, is anything too difficult for God? So when you see your friend who's struggling with a circumstance, you find something in your family or you have some issue that's going on in your life, well, how are you laughing? Are you laughing out of unbelief and doubt? It's too incredible, that's too silly, that'll never happen. Or are you laughing and rejoicing because you've believed God? Somewhere along the line, God helped Sarah to believe that the one who promised her she would have a child would be faithful to do it. And lo and behold, the baby came and she's what, 100 years old? I don't believe we have any 100-year-olds. We got some old people in here, but I don't believe we have any 100-year-olds. And they all laughed. They all rejoiced. So I hope that tonight you're able to laugh with joy because you have prayed and trusted the one. Look, here's what it says. She considered him faithful who promised. And because she considered him faithful who promised, she could laugh. We sang about it tonight, Steve. Let us, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Isn't that good, folks? Aren't you glad? I said, aren't you glad? Is anybody glad in here? Or are you also sad? Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Well, tonight we should pray for one another. We should pray, and I want us to do that. So if you'll find a way to just turn around the people you're there, and I'm going to guide you. I want you to pray what I'm going to lead you to pray some things so it won't be so hard and awkward, but just find a person or two to pray with around you. And just, if you will, quickly do that. Let's just take a moment. We're going to meet with the Lord here. We're going to pray as a group of people. We've heard tonight what the Lord said. The Lord said it to Sarah, and I'm saying it to you. The Lord said, is there anything too difficult? Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? So what I'd like for you to do, first of all, around your circle, and we can just pray out loud if you will, if you don't feel comfortable praying, just touch the person next to you and they can pray. I want you to, first of all, in your group, let's just pause and thank our Heavenly Father for the promise of eternal salvation in Jesus. Let's just go around and pray. Let's just pray. And each one of us express thanks. Go ahead. Thank you. Now, when you finish that, let's continue to pray in your circle and just pray. And we thank the Lord tonight for His promised peace that He gives to us through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So if you'll thank the Lord for His promised peace through Jesus and the presence of the Holy Spirit, let's continue to thank the Lord in our circle of prayer. And when you finish praying that, we pray tonight and we thank the Lord for His promise to come again. Our conviction and assurance that He's coming again. So pray, Lord, come Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray that tonight in our circles, if you will. So, Heavenly Father, we thank You for tonight, and we thank You for the example of Abraham and Sarah who laughed at the promise of God, but who came to the place where they were able to consider You faithful, who had promised. So, Lord, we pray, all of us in this room, the most impossible people and impossible circumstances come to our minds, and we wonder, can You really save anybody? Can You really change anybody and transform them and bring them into the new birth? And the answer is yes. Nothing is impossible for You. So may we pray for the impossible to become real in our lives, for the people who live around us, for our neighbors, for the brokenness of our world, for the people in Dixon, Tennessee, and our surrounding area who live in darkness and who have no idea about the truth of Jesus and the love of God, have no one to speak kindly to them, who to care about them or to love them. Bring them our way and help us when we see people in pitiful conditions, not to dismiss them, but to remember tonight that along the way You changed us when we were in an impossible condition. So Lord, help us. Help our laughter to be laughter of joy because we see the promises of God fulfilled in our life, not the laughter of doubt, not the laughter of cynicism, not the laughter of ridicule and unbelief. May we learn from our forefathers and mothers here who learned how to consider and be assured and confident in what You promised. And the experience they had of laughing together around the birth of Isaac. So, Lord, we thank You for the sweet fellowship we have, and we thank You for Your word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We hide Your word in our hearts that we might not sin against You. Now, while our heads are bowed, I'm just going to be here at the front, and if anybody's in this group that needs to follow Jesus, needs to join this church, needs to make any kind of public commitment, takes courage to stand up for Jesus, I'm never ashamed to invite people to come publicly and stand up here by my side and say, I'm ready to follow Jesus. Some of you carry burdens about the impossible. You don't believe God can do it. You're laughing. Don't laugh. Consider Him faithful who promised. Anybody here need to make any kind of commitment, just come stand by me, whatever it is. If you need to join this church, if you need to be born again, you need to trust Christ, we wait for you to come. Anybody here? So, Heavenly Father, tonight, it is good for us to be together. We have had a wonderful day together. You have blessed us. We've met together. We do pray for our people who are sick. We have a number of our people who are sick. And we pray, Lord, for those who are sick, that You might heal them and that You might give them back their health and strength. they might come back and be with us. We thank you for all of these wonderful folks who are here to make up this church. We enter in now to a time of reporting our work to the church, the leaders reporting the work of the church, and we thank you for all you've done. We thank you for the good that's happened during these days we report on, and we also thank you for the challenges that we face, and we pray that you might help us to always be gracious and kind to one another, and that we might find our greatest joy in walking by faith when we look at the impossible. May we remember, nothing is impossible with God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, thank you for being here, and we have